Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal way back from the beginning. A trusted source for the news. 7th at Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't women. A trusted source for the news. 7th at Hallis, in your ears, you. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of 79th and Hallis, episode 245. Man, it is your guy Scott and Flows. You know to follow us on all social media platforms at Barkchair Scott, at Flows and Delini. Follow 79th and Hallis at 79th and Hallis on Twitter. Follow the Barber's Chair Network on all social media platforms at Barber's Chair Net. You can also subscribe to our Patreon, man. Patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. If you want to get your 79th and Hallis episodes before anybody, that's where you need to sign up on there now, man. It is Thursday, August 1st, 2024, man. It is halftime of the Bears' first preseason game, Hall of Fame game. They are down 17-14, but we're going live because I'm not watching the second half. But we got some stuff to go over today, man. We're going to talk about first half thoughts, the things we saw in the first half. We're going to talk about DJ Moore getting his extension this week. Some stuff that, you know, give y'all my update on what happened, what the happenings were at Hallis Hall this week. Should Ryan Poles go all in now? Now that he spent a lot of money this offseason, should he go all in and even trade for a pass rusher like Matthew Judon over there in New England, who's having issues with his contract situation? And we're going to talk about our favorite Devin Hester moments, as D. Hest, along with Mongo McMichael and Julius Peppers, will be going into the Hall of Fame this Saturday. And we're going to get to Flo's one-on-one with Bears starting lineup, starting linebacker T.J. Edwards. Flo's, how you feeling?
Fine. I mean, it's a preseason game. I love football. I love football more than most team wins, but relax. It's a preseason game. Who cares? I don't care enough. No.
It's still football.
No.
It's still football.
It's trash football. I would rather watch the UFL.
And we have a little quarterback competition going on. As Orlando said, Badgett better update that LinkedIn.
It's against third stringers, bro.
Badgett.
It's against third stringers.
Ripping QB competition going on, man. But did you watch any of the first half or anything?
I watched most of the first half.
What'd you think? What were your thoughts, if any?
It's a boring game. I think the
cool at least part, try to get your media on.
I think the cool part is that you'll always see a few players who they're fighting for their livelihood, you know, like they are fighting for the fact that they have to have a position on this 53-man roster. And this is their showcase. You know, it's not like watching, like, I'll be honest, Caleb Williams in preseason, I don't care too much. I want to see it. It needs to happen. He needs to get the reps, the feel for the speed, but it is never going to compare to that person who is fighting for a spot on that roster. And that happens in preseason. That's what makes it fun. At the same time, because the games themselves don't have too many stakes, it can get boring to watch. That being said, some of the things that I saw that I liked, this is not a Bears player. Davis Mills has sort of solidified himself as a person who will always find a check in the league because he's a good backup. That's literally perfectly what he does. And it was evidence when he was playing the Bears twos that I've been doing this for quite a while. I don't think he's been in the league 4 or 5 years, maybe that. But I know what I'm doing. I know how the operation works. I may not be a big home run guy, but I know how to put it all together and make the easy throws that are there. That was cool. I like to see Austin. I like what I saw with Austin Booker, him getting off the ball quickly, getting his hands out there on those tackles, using that large frame and using his length to be able to push the defender into the quarterback to really make that pocket smaller. In addition to that, being able to get his hands near the ball just by having his hands up when the ball is thrown. Those are some cool things, some surprises. I saw Khalil Herbert out with the threes. Didn't expect that. Obviously,
cut watch.
I know that DeAndre Swift is a starter. It seems like Roshan has got most of the twos in their reps. Not most, but I'd say about half of the twos, half of the reps. Khalil Herbert has got the other reps for the threes. So it's interesting to see Roshan in with the twos, Khalil in with the threes. It's an interesting spot. The Bears kept, I don't know how many, three running backs last year, so it may not be a cut spot. But it's interesting. It's an interesting place he finds himself in. Besides that, I mean, Brett Rippin. Some cool throws. You know, it was interesting to see him throw the pigskin and some zip on it with the threes. That made the first half exciting. And outside of that, well, congrats, Orla. Yes, my son.
Orlando says, tell Flo the Summer Braves come. That's why he's irritated right now. He got to go back to school in 2 weeks.
I've got 13 days left. I'm not
13 days.
I love my job. I'm excited to get back and play, but at the same time, like, here we go.
But shout out DA. He said, welcome back. Even though we didn't go anywhere, we appreciate it. It's season 10 of this glorious podcast. We appreciate everybody watching right now. Everybody in the chat says, Badgett, CrossFit career loading. Badgett is going to look like John Elway in the UFL. He said, Khalil looks great with the threes, which is why he's finna get traded. Yeah, I don't think he's going to get cut, but I definitely think I'm going to try to trade that nigga. Shout out to my man Jay Hood in the chat. He said, Roshan versus Herbert is an interesting battle. They will cut Herbert or trade. I'm glad everybody is on my side when it comes to this. Like you said, Flo, like it's not too much you can take from a preseason game, especially a Hall of Fame game, which nobody in the history of ever has ever played their starters in a Hall of Fame game, like ever. I like how Caleb and Rome did a little workout and had their uniforms on. I guess that was for NFL cameras. We got to get
operation-wise, just getting a rookie used to the operation of the NFL.
Yeah, right. That too. And, you know, Caleb got to get his own field swag up. The cutoff legs got to go.
I'm not mad at the cutoff legs. See, I'm not mad at the short pads on the legs. I'm not mad at that. I'm mad at the big sleeves. The big ass sleeves got to stop. What are we doing? Those are the Kyle Orton sleeves. We don't need that. We need a little bit of tugging. Sleeves. We need a little bit of tugging on that jersey.
And the sleeves in 87 degree weather. Arms,
what are we doing? What are we doing? We don't need that. You need a tighter sleeve. You need a half sleeve. Something. We got to get field swag. To me, is important.
It's very important.
There are some players like Patrick Mahomes doesn't really have field swag. To me, it's whatever. It's kind of basic. It's like if you tell Matt to randomize it, that's what it will be. And there are certain players like Phillip Rivers. He didn't really have field swag. Obviously, he's an incredible quarterback. So, but with a player like Caleb's caliber, you got to do better than that on the field. It's not an important thing, but it's
we got to find out who's the best quarterback with terrible field swag.
Peyton Manning.
I'm talking about currently.
Currently.
I think Lamar ain't really got field swag like
that. Nah, tweaking. Lamar has a nice basic.
What's Lamar's field swag?
It's just basic. It gets the job done. It's nothing crazy, nothing flashy, nothing flamboyant, but it gets the job done. To act like Lamar Jackson doesn't have field swag is irresponsible. It's irresponsible. I don't know what you're talking about.
I just think it's basic. He ain't got nothing on that makes it any different. Like,
exactly. It's just simple. It has the basic pads, the basic, the team socks with the black sneaks and like the white armband, but that's it. It's all he needs, and it works. When it's away, he has the black armband. It works. It's simple. But you don't want to look bad. That's the thing. You don't want to look bad, but you don't have to look like crazy. And I think his sleeves would be baggy sometimes, but just nothing. Don't look wild. Like, don't look like what are you doing? And that's what I kind of felt like. This is, yeah. Anywho.
Brett Rippin Elway is making another charge down the field. The Bears are already in the red zone right now. I understand it's against third stringer, so we're doing too much. Jay Hood said, Paul said it'll be very hard Bates to make the scene. That's who?
Bates, a tight end. He just caught that pass.
White sleeve Lamar was heat too. Is it Stafford? I don't know. Stafford got his own field swag up when he went to L.A.
L.A., true. Oh, yeah, when he went to L.A. Detroit Lions Stafford was no field swag whatsoever. It was bad.
He got to L.A., he turned it up a little bit.
It's probably Stafford. I hate Peyton Manning, but it probably was a product of the era he grew up in. I'm looking at Matt Stafford's L.A. field swag. It's a lot better. Really gets the job done. The one off the half sleeve with the tape on the wrist, that's fire. Gets the job done.
Brady didn't get field swag till he grew the hair out in the third championship year.
Yeah.
When he grew the hair out, that's when he got field swag.
But it was always simple to me. It's always simple. He had a half sleeve.
Burrow got Hitler youth swag. That's what he got right now with that haircut.
It's funny. I'm looking at all these players just so I can have them.
Kirk Cousins field swag some love. Yeah, it is.
Joe Burrow's field swag is perfectly fine. It's the quarter sleeve.
Did you see the new haircut?
Sleeve. Oh, he looks crazy.
The new haircut. Yeah, Hitler he looks youth. He's like he turned off his body cam. He went from being super cool to looking like, oh, he looked like one of them Slim Shady extras when Eminem performed the VMAs like 20 years ago. But yeah, I can't take much from this. What do you think of, like, I don't think Tyson Bajan's really stood out in camp. I don't really think Brett Rippin is stood out in camp either. And I understand Brett is going against third stringers, so it might be a little easier for him than Tyson. I think he might have a better arm than Tyson too. Like, I feel like they were going deeper down the field. Play-wise, it looks good. As you said, Joe, when we were leaving practice a couple days ago, you got to wait till you see it before you give Shane Waldron any type of love. But I think from what I saw in this game, the plays I saw, but it's really not too much to digest from this. It's just something that they do to kick off Hall of Fame weekend, which is funny because the Bears won't even be there for the Hall of Fame on Saturday. They'll be at practice, and we'll be there as well. So that's just pretty much what we got from that, man. Moving on, are you ready to get into your TJ Edwards interview?
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to say before we play this? Anything?
Mills definitely juke 92. Oh, my Lord. Put him in the freaking basket. That was embarrassing. Please bear with me in my interview. I didn't focus correctly.
It was my fault.
I was trying to help you out, man. I was trying to help you say I didn't focus correctly. This fat man didn't
Not going to put it on your good director name. That was my fault.
So a little struggle with the focusing of it. The camera was focused center shot, which was on the background instead of the foreground. But
I didn't want to stop the interview. Y'all had audio. I'm like, excuse me. So I just like, hopefully this blurs back out. But shout out our video guy, Nikhil, for cleaning up the video as much as he possibly could. But go ahead. My bad. I interrupted.
He is a I really like interviewing TJ Edwards. This is probably my third time, if we're including locker room interviews with him. And seeing the fact that this is a Chicagoland area, Lake Villa around there, a little around Lake Forest area, who is aware of Chicago and its history, and just knowing what it means to be a Bears fan, what it means to understand the team and the history. And so to see him and have a conversation with him was pretty fun.
All right, we're going to get into it. Flows about 5 minutes sit down with TJ Edwards, and then we'll be back.
First off, thank you for taking the time to chat with us. This was the first day with pads on.
Yeah.
How do you compare and contrast the intensity from days that are pads on versus pads off?
I think, you know, anytime it's the first day of pads, it's a little different, right? That's like, those are days you never forget. Just the first time to get out there and run around with a new team and actually get to hit somebody and stuff like that. So it was good. You know, I think obviously it's controlled intensity a little bit right now because it's our own guys, but it's still good to kind of just get your pads underneath you and, really set them for especially O-line, D-line. But it was a good start for sure.
I've never had, of course, the pleasure of playing professional football. Yeah. But I remember when I was a kid playing Pop Warner, and the defense is always more chippy
for sure
than the offense. I don't know the reason why. Can you elaborate why the defense just always gets going first?
I think it's at part, you know, when you first start, you know, you're just in helmets. You can't really hit anybody. You can't really grab anything or anything like that. I know D-lines love those days because they can just attack and just go. But I thought it was a good day on both sides. You know, I think it was a good physical day, and I'm sure, you know, that'll get more and more intense as time goes on for sure. Yeah.
So speaking on Caleb Williams and the offense, what do you think your job is as a defense to prepare him? I mean, he is a rookie quarterback, but you all are still considered a top-notch defense in the league. What do you think your focus or your job is to make sure you're bringing out the best of him consistently?
Yeah, I mean, I think first and foremost, you know, we want to make sure we're doing what we're supposed to be doing for us, right? And I think right now, the only competition we have is our offense, and that's a really good group. So for us, we want to, you know, make sure our disguises are looking right, making sure we're all on the same page with things first and foremost, and then just go out there and compete. You know, they got some really good guys. You know, obviously Caleb being a young guy, but they got great vets too who are really going to challenge us every day. And I think it just handled it well, and we've been going back and forth, so it's been fun for sure.
Now, moving on from the team to personal accolades, you're coming off of a stellar campaign with the Bears your first year, over 150 combined tackles. I believe you were seventh in the league in tackles. You also had three interceptions, if I'm not mistaken, a couple of sacks.
Had a few.
When you look at the success you have had last year and going into the second year with the Bears, how do you keep yourself motivated? Because those are very high stats. Going into now, you're going into your second year. What is the difference between keeping yourself motivated after having such a hot year?
Yeah, I mean, I think in this one, right, it's a what have you done for me lately league, right? So it's one thing to do it one year, but the great ones, you know, the guys that are at the top of the league every year, they do it consistently. And I want to be one of those guys. I mean, for me, it's easy for me. You know, I always come in, no matter where I'm at, I always come in that I'm underrated, right? I'm the guy who, you know, people didn't expect much from, and I still look at it that way. So that keeps me going every single day, and I know I have something to prove every single time I walk in here, for sure.
Now, going keeping with your personal accolades and your teammates, you and Tremaine are also considered amongst the best linebacking duos in the league. How has your relationship grown since your first year playing together?
Yeah, I mean, I think at first, right, like just meeting them, I think I could tell, you know, we were on the same page in terms of football IQ of how the game is supposed to look. And I think that really started things off hot for us. And we're both very competitive, too. You know, we want to be the first ones to make a big play. We want to that's just kind of in our blood. That's kind of how we operate, especially in our room. And but I think just football is such a chemistry game, right? And coming back, you know, this year, having kind of the same group, similar scheme and things like that, to where we can really just kind of make it into our own. I'm really excited for what that's going to look like. And it's going to be, you know, us again, just competing with each other and trying to make each other better and keeping each other accountable and all those things that it makes it easy for me to play with someone like that, for sure.
All right, last question before we get you out of here. You're from the Chicagoland area.
Yeah.
If you were to introduce a new teammate to the Chicagoland area, what is one place you would take them to and one restaurant you can take them to? I know it's difficult.
It's tough. There's a lot. I mean, people love the river and all that. And I think summertime Chi, in my opinion, is best in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Best in the world. Yeah. So any place in the summer to go outside and walk around. I'm a big Maple and Ash guy. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I'm a big Maple and Ash guy. Good spot. So I'd probably do something nice like that. Or if not, just, you know, go grab a slice of pizza or something. Pisano's is my favorite. I'm a big fan of Pisano's. I think it's underrated. So I'd probably do one of those things.
Well, thank you for taking the time out. Appreciate you. Appreciate you. Yeah. It's your boy, Foles. We will catch you all later.
Flo's Rather sitting down with TJ Edwards. Real good interview there. Said Professor Big Folks with the hard-hitting questions. We're going to have some more interviews coming up for y'all during this training camp with better quality, because I will not be shooting it anymore. But
the funny thing is, normally Scott is the one who does the interviews. But
I lost a bet.
A bet that we would be on field, either on field one and two or on fields three and four. I bet one and two. It was on one and two, so I got the interview. But it was fun to talk to TJ. It's early, so you don't really have any hard-hitting questions about, like, we're used to in the middle of the season where it's like, you guys stink. What are you going to do to get it back? But now it's positive vibes at the beginning of the camp. There's nothing you really have to force onto a player and ask. You just got to say, you know, like, what are you all doing? You all have this, you have that. How are you going to improve? But, yeah, there's a different feeling within the Bears organization. It seems like it's more hopeful. And it's interesting. I was looking at DJ since I wasn't DJ Moore when he was talking to you all, since I wasn't there. And or he was talking to someone else. It's about Musa Muhammad and how, you know, wide receivers.
I was doing the press conference. Yeah.
Wide receivers go there to die. And he was like, you all can pack that up. And I was like, that's true. You know, and it didn't start with TJ. It started with Brandon Marshall. Then Alshon Jeffery. And it started with the fact that the Bears gave themselves modernity, being modern, and allowing the offense to spread and grow via the forward pass, something invented decades ago. So it's fun to see the Bears culture change, but also bearing fruits of the change that happened over a decade ago.
Shout out Caleb Williams being interviewed right now on the sideline. Caleb is by Lisa Salters. Caleb is very media trained. Like, this nigga got a LeBron motor. Like, shout out our guy, Herb Howard. Herb asked him an amazing question about, like, what's some things that you're not confident about that you need to work on. And he really thought about it for a minute and gave a nice, real detailed answer. I watched his 20-minute interview with Courtney Cronin on ESPN. Real good interview, but you can tell this nigga's media. You can't trip him up, at least right now. He ends every press conference with Dub Bears or Go Bears. We'll see if he's doing that week 8 after a loss to Green Bay, and he threw 2 picks.
Week 8 when you're 4-4, the team stinks, and you got to search for an identity.
And it's like 48 degrees outside. Like, we'll see, because this is Halloween. But shout out to Mikey. He said to TJ, Maple and Ash, TJ think he me. That's hilarious. But real good interview. You asked some real good, hard-hitting questions. TJ was, you know, and we waited a long time. But shout out to TJ. He was real. He was into it. It wasn't one of those interviews where he was just like, let's just get this over with. You can tell it was a real good interview. So shout out to TJ, man. What'd you think about the Hard Knocks trailer? Let's talk about that real quick. What you think about that?
I'm excited. You know, it's funny. I knew they were going to go with the angle the Bears have a legacy and all this. And on my head, I'm like, no, you don't. No, you don't. No, there is no more Monsters of the Midway. They died decades ago. Now you have to write a new legacies. And if there is no heir apparent to said legacy, legacies truly do end.
And so you're saying that the Bears are the Targaryens when Game of Thrones started?
Yeah. The Mad King ruined everything. Your legacy is done. What are you going to do now? And right now, I think we are lying to ourselves if we say the Bears have a legacy. No, they don't. They have a name. Monsters of the Midway are just a name right now. There is nothing beyond that. And so I think the best thing for the Bears to do right now is to formulate who they are and who does it mean to be a Bears player. Because when you think of Monsters of the Midway, I think of the 46th defense. I think of defensive linemen who can get you without even needing the linebackers. But then I think about the linebackers coming with the defensive linemen. And then after that, I think of sweetness.
Phil Emery was the Mad King.
That's what I think. And I think of T formation. Running it up the gut, sweetness, bowling the dude over, getting back up, tossing a touchdown, running a touchdown, catching a touchdown. That's what I think. And then of wide receivers, they're not really as important. And then Jim McMahon, playboy, brass, really tough-nosed guy. That's what I think about. Those aren't the Bears anymore. The Bears are somebody and something else. The question is, what will that be? And I think, hopefully through Hard Knocks, you start to see the foundation that Eberflus and Pose have set, whether that will be the foundation that drives them forward for however long they're tenured here. I don't know.
I'm going to push back just a little bit. They do have a legacy. Is it an old ass legacy?
Yeah, that's my point. Certain things don't honor legacy anymore. You know,
no, that don't.
Maybe legacy is not a word.
Yeah, legacy is the wrong word. Yeah.
Legacy will always last. The Bears are not a part of that
right now.
The Bears are not a part of that anymore. What we got here?
They're showing a clip from Hard Knocks right now that I can't see because it's on mute. But anyway, I'm pretty sure somebody put it on the internet. But this, I'm like, yes, it's a legacy, but there's nothing new. It's like. The Celtics always had a legacy up until even when they didn't win before Paul Pierce and them won. It had been, 25 years before they had won up until that time. They still had a legacy. You have Russell and them, and you had Bird and them. So they had a legacy. Them niggas just ain't won in a long time. And even with this championship they won this year, they ain't won in almost – 2008 was almost 20 years ago.
You talking about But see, that's the thing, though.
Celtics who won this year.
But see, that's the thing, though. They would only be separated by one decade for them not having won. If I'm looking at the Boston Celtics of the 80s, obviously they won the NBA Finals. The 90s, they saw success early when they were losing finals. They lost Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, they lost the Eastern Conference semis in like 91. They went to the first round 94. The 2000s is when they started to see more. So really, it was only – 94 to about 2001, where they just weren't doing anything. There was that was, and that's, is that even 10 years? Not even 10 years of just awfulness. That's just a small section of what they weren't doing. So realistically, that's not as bad. And then after that, you go from, was it 20 years until they won their next one? 85 to 2000, 22 years. 22 years until they won their next one. The Bears have nothing. If you were to look at like the Football Reference, it's just like empty page of nothing.
I agree. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying they have a legacy. A legacy is different.
Maybe them not having a legacy was what I didn't mean to say. I wanted to say what I'm trying to articulate.
They have nothing new from the 21st century.
No, it's not even that. I mean, it is that. It's that the legacy that the Bears have is not with that team anymore. That legacy is now in a museum. It's boxed up with Saran wrap over it. It's not that legacy doesn't correlate to the Bears, and it hasn't correlated for doesn't have correlation for some time now.
I mean, the Bulls are the same thing. Like, how many times are we gonna keep watching Michael Jordan clips? Like, it's been 26 years that them niggas been to the NBA Finals. but I'll say this too. But the trailer I love the trailer because even though that they infuse the all the eras, even though I've said I'm tired of seeing the 85 Bears, when the trailer came on, I was like, is that Dicka talking? And it was Floose. I'm like, oh, okay. Floose getting the troops ready. But I loved how it said iconic franchise. And it went from all the faces. It went from Gale Sayers, Dick Butkus, Mike Dicka, Jim McMahon, Mike Singletary, Sweetness, Urlacher, Hester. And then it went to Rome and Caleb. I thought that was kind of cool. See, like,
the Urlacher years were also trash. Let's also talk about it. Let's talk about the Urlacher
time out,
years.
It was four times
you went to the playoffs. Trash.
And two of them times was a Super Bowl, and another was NFC Championship game.
Two of them times they went to the Super Bowl?
No, I'm talking about twice out of the two, a Super Bowl and NFC Championship game.
It was a trash.
2006 to 2006. It was a trash. I can't say trash. Trash is what we just been watching the last couple years.
That's god awful. This is trash. Urlacher's years were trash. There is nothing he left behind. Him and his years left behind no legacy for the Bears. I don't know why we even lie like it does.
Defenses were also part of the Monsters of Midway. You know, those were some great defenses.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, I'm saying
2012, from 2000 to 2012, the Bears went to the playoffs four times. It has more space in between anything actually happening. That Bears did not inherit any sort of legacy, man. I hate it. There's nothing from there. It was just trash. It was now defense. I will give the Bears credit. They always know how to build a defense. I will never say they don't.
In Urlacher's time, they went to the playoffs four times.
Four times.
2001, 2005, 2006, 2010. I wouldn't call it trash. Trash is not a word I use. Mediocre, yes. I'm not gonna use
no track. Mediocre is 50% of the time you went to the playoffs. That's 12 years. 50% would be six times. They went less than that. That's trash.
You're taking a poo-poo on all the Bears teams we grew up on.
Yeah, we have to be realistic. Those would not
thank you, Orlando. It can't call it
no,
trash.
Mediocre is 50%. Trash is less. 12 years, four playoffs. 12 years, it's 12, four playoffs. It's trash. We loved it because we grew up with it. It's our trash. This is mine, but it's trash.
So you saying we talking about this like how we talk about
the Star Wars prequels?
Yes. Star Wars prequels?
Yes, the prequels stink. Phantom Menace, trash. Episode 2, one of the worst movies I've ever seen. Episode 3, okay. But what is that average? What is 1 out of 3? I don't know the average for that. It's like 33.333% or something like that.
So I'm blaming Jay and them on Waffle was saying this. I'm not blaming Jay. Blame the 80 offensive coordinators they gave that nigga. And the worst offensive line I've seen in league history.
Yeah. Jay, like Urlacher, will always be bright spots. Urlacher is a Hall of Famer. He is incredible talent. I don't think I've ever seen a racist,
but if we're talking about on the field.
I don't think I've ever seen a linebacker be so adept at covering tight ends. The art of covering tight ends from the linebacker position is lost. which is why people often teams often bring in DBs to cover tight ends, but then that fails because they're not physical enough. Urlacher had what you didn't really see in linebackers often. Jay Cutler holds so many Bears passing records, was never a bad player to me. The problem is I think we look upon those years too fondly. And I think we need to call them what they were. Not good.
And if we, this is how Joe starting the season with realism. By the way, the Hard Knocks clip is Caleb. They doing the rookie intro thing. So he went up there in front of everybody. He said, "My name is Caleb Williams. I went to USC in Oklahoma. Steal horns down and fight on." He said, "My bonus is $25.5 million." And niggas got him like, "Dang!" And Tyson Page was sitting there like, "That's the most money I've ever heard of in my life." So that's what the clip was from.
Who was that? Just, I don't want to call the person out their name. It's not what a Christian should do. But he talked about Caleb's nails and then talked about Caleb's, the way he has the locker room's respect and everything.
Oh, Monty Toomer, who was on the 2008 Giants.
Okay, what are we doing? Why is it that
it sound like he a musty mug. That's what that sound like to me.
I don't think you've ever heard me talking about Caleb's nails, even when he was with USC. What you will hear me talking about was, man, he held onto the ball sometimes. Man, he wants the home run plate, but what does his nails have to do with anything? Why can't the person be free to express himself?
People are homophobic. That's what it is. Shout out to Robert Shaw in the chat. He said, "Love you guys. Camp updates. Good work. Congrats." Thank you, Robert. Thank you to all y'all who getting into the program, man. We done gained like 200 new followers since camp started. Shout out to all y'all. Orlando says, whoa, brother. That wasn't Phantom Menace. That was trash. It was Clone Wars. I hope you're talking about Clone Wars, the movie.
No.
I hope you're talking about the movie.
He's talking about Attack of the Clones.
I know you're not talking about Phantom the greatest Menace piece of Star Wars
awful.
Act ever.
Phantom Menace is awful. No, it is not good. It is not a good movie. It is trash. First of all, this is not a Star Wars show, so I'll be very brief.
Now that we on Barbershop, we go off topic.
The first thing that we saw in there is the Trade Federation imposes an embargo. It's like, what? This is Star Wars. I don't care about politics. What in the world are you talking about a trade embargo for? I'm like, okay. George Lucas, great with the big picture. Sometimes he missed it with the small. Then you have the fact that Darth Maul, who is shown three times throughout the movie. That's it. And then all of a sudden, he's the big bad. But why is he the big bad? Sidious, explain more who Sidious is. You don't really see it. You know, there are only two. Basically, it assumes a lot about the world and the lore of Star Wars without actually telling you what's happening. You just have to go and saying, oh, right, the Sith. Oh, right, they come in too. Right. Oh, Darth Sidious. Right. Oh, Darth. Oh, Darth's the title. Gotcha. Like those type of things. And then if you go into Attack of the Clones, oh, I hate saying, oh, just nonsense.
God-awful acting in that movie. I love Hayden, but god-awful acting in that.
The fight scene was incredible. Fight scene, I can't even hate. Great. It's incredible. Ewan McGregor versus Ray Adam, forgot his name, was great. Anywho, moving on, because I could talk about Star Wars forever. Let's get back to our notes. We're talking about the DJ Moore extension next, unless you had something else.
No, I was just saying that I'm excited to watch Hard Knocks, man, which airs this Wednesday on HBO. Hopefully you see either Mia Flows in the background on one of these, because they had the camera in our faces multiple times. Now whether we escape, make it through the cuts or the editing process is a different question. But anyway, extension, big news came out this week, a couple days ago. Practice was, what's the day? So that was Tuesday. So the news came out Tuesday night that DJ Moore signs an extension with the Chicago Bears. He already had 2 years left on his current deal. Four-year extension, $110 million, $86 million guaranteed. So now the Bears' core offensive players, well, their core players in general, locked up for the next couple of years. Montez Sweat, of course, got his contract like a week after he got traded. We all know Jalen Johnson got his big deal this offseason. Caleb and Rome signed their rookie deal, so they're straight for the next 5 years. And now DJ Moore getting his. And now, to me, this signals that I don't think Keenan Allen – I think this is a one-year deal for Keenan Allen, even though – DJ said in his press conference, which was the best press conference I've ever sat in my 4 years of covering this team. DJ's always has personality. DJ has his own style of comedy, and I think that DJ is going to be one of the best joys of watching Hard Knocks. I think the stars of Hard Knocks are going to be DJ Moore. I think DeMarcus Walker is going to be big on there. I think Jalen Johnson is going to be big. Caleb, obviously, but that's who I think. But, DJ, man, he was happy about it. He said he just wanted to get the deal over with because, you know, it didn't really matter to him about being the highest paid wide receiver, you know, matching these other contracts that we saw got passed out. He just wanted to be settled here because he loves playing in Chicago. And I love how he admitted that.
Pettis with a muff punt?
Yeah, muff punt. Cut alert. I love how he kept the G saying that when he got traded to the Bears, he wasn't really happy about coming, even though it had nothing to do with the Bears. He had just moved into a new house in Carolina, and now he had to get everything packed up again. But he said once he'd been around there, he said the Bears have treated him special since the moment that he got traded up until the moment he signed that new contract, man. And you saying stuff like another reason he wanted to stay there is because he feels Caleb's going to be a superstar. I think it was Jason Leisure or Mark Potash, double A. Why do you think he's going to be a superstar? He said just the way he handles our defense. He said even if he messes up the next play, he's getting on him. And he said, I wanted to be around for that as well. He said his celebration meal was a 8-piece spicy family meal from Popeyes. He was having a little back and forth with Josh Rock as Josh Rock had his Oregon gear on. He was like, man, Oregon sucks. It was a nice, entertaining, press conference, man. But I think it's great. I think it's fun. It just kind of shows the new era that we're in with the Bears as well. Highest paid player in franchise history. What do you think about the extension news and were you shocked?
No, I'm thankfully I was not shocked by the fact that they had an extension for him, which is good because there was a period and watching the Bears where I would be like, they paid him. So, I mean, it kind of reminds me like when the Bears first got Brandon Marshall, I said, what? I looked at Scott. I'm pretty sure we were in your room when we were kids and we were like, huh?
No, I was actually on a flight to South by Southwest when Brandon Marshall got to the Bears because
I was in your room. You told me, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, because I had my phone off, and then when I got off the plane, landed in Austin, Texas, that was an alert that came to my phone. And I almost cried because I was like, we have a wide receiver.
Thankfully, I don't feel that way. Or like, wow, I can't believe it. No, I figured that he would get a long-term contract. I know he has his aspirations for Keenan, but depending on what you see from Rome this year, I don't imagine one would spend a lot of money on someone who is in their 30s and a wide receiver.
Yeah, especially somebody who he said he wants to get paid. And even though DJ said right after he got paid, he asked Keenan, what's your number, bro, so we can lock you in. Who knows? Maybe they sign him. I don't think so. I think this is going to be the DJ Moore Roma Dunze show for the next 5 years. And DJ Moore's contract runs to 2029, so he's going to be here up until the year the wide receivers are washed. So he's going to be a lifelong Bear. By the way, thank you, Carolina Panthers. Thank you, Carolina Panthers, so much for your dedication and everything. So that leads to my next question, man. Should Ryan Poles go all in? Our guy, Greg Braggs Jr. of CHGO and Braggs in the stand said that he feels that the Bears' window is open right now. He said that doesn't mean he thinks the Bears are going to win a Super Bowl or nothing like that right now, but he feels like the window starts and that he feels Poles should go all in and try to go trade for a defensive lineman defensive end like Matthew Judon, who's having not the best. Well, he's having problems with his contract, having a contract dispute with the New England Patriots. Even this week, the Patriots said that they sent the offer. Matthew Judon tweeted, don't listen to what they're saying. I haven't got any offer. He sounds disgruntled. The Bears have extra picks. My thing is this. I don't know if I would say the window is open right now. I think that kind of begins next year. What is that picture?
That is me telling you no. The Bears window isn't open yet.
Hold on. Let me finish my take. I don't think it's open. I think next year is it. But you have extra picks, and I've said all OTAs, all camp, I still don't trust either one of these lines. I don't trust the offensive line because of health. As we already see, Nate Davis didn't miss the last week. back to life, back to reality. That's how it feels like right now. Like, we don't know how that's gonna shape up. I don't like the fact that we're having a center battle. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, the defensive line, I think we need more than Montez Sweat. Even if Gervon Dexter has this breakout year that everybody on the Bears is expecting, I would go out there and trade for Matthew Judon. You're Orlando, he's 31, but that you get a couple years for that. I'll give him a nice little 3-4 year deal if it's a point and see what how much the New England is asking for. Shout out to the DA says not this year, but next year through 2028, buy Super Bowl tickets early. I would go if there's an opportunity to make your team better, especially on a rookie deal. As we keep saying, these quarterbacks get paid. Like, these quarterbacks getting paid crazy. We just saw the money the Tua and Jordan Love got this week. It has nothing to do with your actual play on the field now. The quarterbacks getting played off what they're about to do. So in about 3 to 4 years, these conversations, if Caleb plays the way we expect him to, Caleb's going to be on the docket for that. So you want to take advantage of a rookie deal as much as you can. So I'm not saying you go be thirsty for Matthew Judon and put all your prize picks on the line. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure Poles is – you know, making calls and seeing what the block is like as well. But I personally think that he's going to go into this season with the DL as it is right now. He's going to see what it's like around trade deadline, because we all know the trade deadline is now active. That's when the Bears got Montez Sweat last year. And I think that if the sacks and the pressure aren't the way that he looks, then he might make a deal. But go ahead.
I don't want to say don't go all in, but I think a good team still needs to be built with the drafts. And with, it's like you use free agents like sprinkles. You know what I mean? You don't go all in, but you use a few. And as of right now, I don't think it's time for you to just throw everything out there, throw, you know, all your money at a top person, unless it's like game changer or an opportunity that you can't pass up. And as of right now, I don't see it that way. Bears need to build and make sure they're getting a lot of players with rookie contracts, a lot of players with their first contracts, because you don't want to spend so much money. That being said, you shouldn't follow the Jerry Reins or school of money management where you're making sure you don't have any big contracts. That's not a smart way to do things either. The NFL is not like a regular business where you want to buy cheap and make a big profit. No, you have to put in money. So that being said, I think right now the best bet for the Bears is to only spin if there's just an incredible offer that you can't pass. Judon, I don't know. As of right now, no. I think now if we're talking specifics within the Bears, the secondary is fine. The linebacking core is good. The defensive line, you need someone else. You need someone else for sure, but I don't think it needs to be someone who is middle of the pack or someone who has a question mark. As of right now, I also don't think you should just sit on your hands. I'm kind of confused of what I'm saying. Is basically you're in a tough situation.
Basically saying if the deal is there, you should check into it, but don't be thirsty for it.
Exactly. The opposite of that, when it's something like the offensive line, good offensive linemen don't go to free agency. Good offensive linemen either had to be traded for or they have to be drafted, in my personal opinion. So I think with the Bears, this just might be the situation that they're in until next year's draft, when you'll have to draft somebody or you find somebody within free agency. So you're kind of stuck that way. Now, defensive linemen, they're in free agency all the time. But as of right now, I don't think there's anything or there's a person they can do that makes sense to just go all out. At the same time, how would this team operate under Matt Eberflus' third year? I'm not sold on him as a coach. I'm not sold on Ryan Poles just yet. That being said, Ryan Poles gets a lot more leeway than all of them.
I ain't gonna lie, I'm sold on Ryan Poles.
Because of the draft and the free agency that he's done, he gets a lot more leeway. But I'm not gonna be sold on somebody until there's a sustained playoff. Good on paper is great. It's good on paper, but what does the team look like? Like, good names that fit in, what does the team look like? I haven't seen anything, and I don't think, you know, it's the stereotypical King Poles has done it again. I haven't seen it just yet. I want to see it on the field. Names are great. How does it play? Several times during last season, I said, I don't care about names. How does it play? And I don't know just yet. Looks good on paper. I will absolutely admit that. How does it play?
I'm sold on Ryan Poles. Everything else I agree with. It's up to the players to play now. It's the GM's job to get the players. I think he's done a good job of that. Speaking of, the game has actually been suspended. due to severe weather in Canton, Ohio, which is why another reason I'm glad we didn't go. So the Bears are leading 21-17, but the game's been suspended. We don't know if it will start back up. Yeah, man. So, you know, what did Victor say in the chat? Poles love his in-season trades. Got to wait and see who comes available as far as pass. But that's one thing Poles is going to do. He's not going to rush and things like that, man. Final topic before we wrap up this episode, man. Our boy Devin Hester, one of the three Bears who will be inducted into the Hall of Fame. This Saturday, the Bears now will continue their record for the most Hall of Famers in pro football history with 30. 30 Hall of Famers now, as Julius Peppers will be inducted, long overdue. Steve Mongo McMichael will be inducted. His lovely wife, came out as part of the walkout today.
And I just want to say to her that not many people understand the vows of marriage during sickness and in health. And I can't imagine the strength it takes to be a wife to a person who's dealing with ALS. I just want her to know, never met her in my life, but I'm praying for her. I'm thankful that he has you there to walk with him during this time. I'm thankful that the Lord allowed him to remain alive during this so he can see this.
Yeah.
He can see it. Even if he can't express it, I know his brain can see it. And I'm thankful that you're there. And I pray you get everything that you want in your life because you deserve it and he deserves it. And it just makes me hate ALS that, man, such a lively person. But I'm thankful for his life and I'm thankful for what he brought to the city of Chicago. We love him. Never met him. Love him. And I will continue to pray for him, continue to pray for her.
Mongo, one of the great Bears legends, also one of the four horsemen, nigga, on WCW, four horsemen on there. He was, a lot of you forget, Mongo was at the commentary table with Eric Bischoff and Tony Schiavone when Kevin Nash and Scott Hall took over Nitro. So he's a legend in both of those, man. And like you just said, it's crazy just how ALS deteriorates the body. He was just at the 100-year anniversary, like 5 years ago, remember? He was lively, doing everything, man. So definitely prayers out to his family, prayers out to him. Definitely much love to his wife. And I'm glad that he's, like you said, he's here. He might not be able to talk, but he can see it. He's going to see his induction on Saturday. That's dope. Shout out to our boy, Jared Payton, who's going to be inducting Mongo on Saturday. Even though this man went to the Packers, Julius Peppers was the first big Bears free agent acquisition I can remember in my time as a Bears fan. In the couple years that he was here, he was dominant. He was a real good player for the Bears. He's going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. And then, oh boy, should have been in a couple years ago, but the GOAT, Mr. Devin Hester, greatest returner of all time. He's going to be inducted on Saturday. I'm very excited about that as well. Man, we saw all of Devin's career. You know, four-time Pro Bowler, three-time first all-team pro, most career non-offensive touchdowns in NFL history with 20, and he had 14 punt returns, man, just crazy numbers. So I want to talk about what's some of our favorite Devin Hester moments. I think everybody loves the Super Bowl kick. Me personally, I don't love the Super Bowl kick as much as everybody else because I know how that game ended. Like,
I hate it.
But it's a gift and a curse for me because that kick is the peak of my Bears fandom. I have never in my life been as happy as I was at that particular moment. We was at your homeboy CJ crib watching it. His dad had a
Super Bowl homeboy, party. Nigga. Our homeboy
CJ. Well, I was just saying that because you had class with the nigga. Our homeboy CJ, he had his dad had a Super Bowl party, and bro, you remember just the energy we felt at that particular moment. You couldn't tell me that we weren't gonna win that championship that year, man. So, but my favorite Devin Hester moment, man, is two of them. I got two favorite Devin Hester moments. One would be his two kick returns against the St. Louis Rams, to the point where if you watch the NFL films mic'd up, Torrey Holt's like, "He changed the game, ladies and gentlemen. Don't kick to him. He changed the game." And then my second one would be, remember, it went 3 years. He went 3 years without returning the kick. And then Monday Night Football, the year the Bears won the division in 2010. Monday Night Football against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. He returned the kick and hopped over the, the Packers kick and just ran into the end zone, man. That's I could be all day naming favorite Devin moments, but that might be my two favorite right there.
Are you done now?
Yeah.
my favorite Devin Hester returns are his first one against the Packers. And was that the year before? That was the year of the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, yeah. That was his first ever kick. The one in Green Bay?
Yeah. That was the most impressive one for me because I was not expecting it. I looked and I said, who is this? And he grabs it. And I mean, he takes off. The funniest part in the end, if you pay attention to the Packers kicker, he started catching up to Devin Hester in the end. I don't know if it's because Devin Hester slowed down or that kicker was just blazingly fast. But I'll never forget that return touchdown. That was freaking incredible. But they played that in Green Bay, if I remember correctly. That was the first one I remember because I watched that game like September something. 2006, I think. 2006. Has to be 2006. Incredible. Really good blocks. Peter Tillman had a good block on that return. Incredible. Second one was the two returns against the Broncos.
Oh, yeah. We don't play chicken shit football.
Which is hilarious. Who are you? You're a kicker. What are you talking about? I don't want to hear that from you. Those were incredible because I said, yo, he has the secret to kick returns. This is easy for him. I'll never forget that. That was, again, one of my favorite. Those are my two favorite memories. There's also the touchdown against the Lions with Pina Tillman. Again, what a great block. Pancake block in the end zone. We'll never forget that because it showed me that Devin Hester was great. But, man, the special teams of the Bears during the Lovey era was amongst the best. Whether it was kick returns from Devin Hester or if it was the kicking from Robbie Gould, they just got it done because they made sure to put Devin Hester in the position to succeed. Just really, really great. So those were my favorites, return touchdowns from Devin Hester. It's one of those things where the people who didn't want him in the Hall of Fame, my thought is why? You know, I'm not a person who cares about precedent. You know, there's not one in before. Why should he be in? Because it's always time for precedent to be broken. Yep. In addition to that, the Hall of Fame is reserved for players who are at the best of their position. Simply. It's that so amongst the even with kickers. Kickers for me need to be in the Hall of Fame because they play the position in football. Hell, even a punter. The problem is you just need to be outstanding at those positions. Same as a kick return touchdown. It's not like he had a couple touchdowns here and there. He had like 20. And so why not put him in the Hall of Fame? He was the best to ever do it. He was a cheat code. And I'm so glad that he got in the Hall of Fame because he absolutely deserves it. I don't know how many years of eligibility
year three. Okay. Yeah.
Which, again, one of those things where I think to myself, precedent, where people don't want to just put a person in first ballot often. Put people in when they deserve it. They deserve it, do it. There are just things about sports writing and their emphasis on precedent that I just will never get. Devin Hester is one of those people where he deserved to be in the Hall of Fame the moment he became eligible. That being said, of course, there's always other people who deserve to get in before that person. Devin Hester is not amongst those. He was a first ballot, should have been a first ballot.
Yeah, I don't know what Yurko and Carmen went on with that one, but I have no idea. That's a dumbass comment to me. He don't belong in the Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame is for people who are the best at that position, and he is the best position. There was no one better than him before that. Ain't going to be no one better than him after that because as you see these new kickoff rules, making it basically impossible for niggas to run kickback. Like
I don't think it's making it impossible. They just – I know the thing is that we have seen people be crippled and paralyzed from that. And I'm not of the ilk of the Americans who think it's just tough nose. You got to be tough. No, you need to care about the people who are playing the game that you watch. It's easy to say that the people need to be tough when you're not playing the sport. It's like when I talked with TJ Edwards, I was like, man, I have never had the pleasure of playing professional football. But man, it's interesting how A, B, and C. It's the same thing with football. I have never had the pleasure of playing professionally. But I remember as a kid, man, we're getting depleted. And so how much more would it be for a person who has spent their entire livelihood, their entire lives preparing for the game? How much more deadly would it be? It would be even more deadly. And so I think as a league, you need to do what you can to protect your player. I think right now the NFL is better than it has ever been. Whether it's the scheme offensively, it's the speed of the players, or it's the way that the game runs. It's the best it's ever been. And this funny thing is, I thought I would miss the bone-breaking hard hits. I realized to myself, not really. I don't really miss the game or watch the game for the hits. I watch the game for the plays. And then I realized that, man, people are going to be in a better position as they get older. It was heartbreaking for me watching Jim McMahon struggled so much because of the hits he took in football. So if we can have a way to keep these players healthier longer, and they don't have to worry about or think about their mental health or their mental just sanity because of the hits they've taken in football, I'm all for it. It's even like with the Guardian Helmets with football. I'm pretty sure Guardian Helmets will be adapted into the league in a little bit. I'm pretty sure it will become players are allowed to wear them. Players will be mandated. You'll have to get used to it, but I think this is a portion of the game that fans need to be more appreciative of, and it's player safety. And so with the way the kickoff return is now, having seen players get paralyzed or die, I think it's perfectly fine. They'll have to tweak it a bit. They'll have to tweak it a bit so it makes it more fun and it's less deadly. But the last thing you need is somebody screaming down from the opposite 30 heading straight towards you. You don't want that because that's where you get into trouble. But I think right this year will probably be a test run and they'll probably do better tweaks to it. But I'm not mad at it.
Devin Hester just said he feels it's shaky, but we'll see how it plays out. It is pouring.
That's the best way to approach it.
Yeah, it is pouring like a motherfucker.
Call the game. Right, what now are we doing?
Shout out our guys, Herb Howard and Nicholas Mariano, who they're talking about. They don't want to step on the field. Herb got some nice shoes on. Currently, we got Troy Aikman and Joe Buck interviewing Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles right now on there. Ryan Poles got a little tan, I see. Anyway, next week, we'll be back next week. By the way, shout out to y'all watching. Almost 1,000 people in the chat today. Shout out to y'all, everybody who watching, supporting. This is going to be a big season for the podcast. We'll be back next Saturday. Is we'll be recapping preseason game number 2. And we expect Caleb Williams and the starters to be playing next Saturday in Buffalo, man. So anything you want to say before we get up out of here? We good to go.
No, not really. I mean, I wouldn't say not really. I always have something to say. I am excited for what the Bears have. I think that we need to have a cautious optimism. Once again, I will not be a person who tells you you should not be optimistic about your team. I think we should give in to our better urges to have that optimism. Just be cautious. Things need to play out on the field. Kevin Warner, like a corrupt politician, is hilarious. Bunk suit, never going to forget it. I hope one day to interview him.
And you're like Rashard Tate.
I hope to one day look at him and say, Scott called you bunk suit. What you think about that?
TED Talk, Kevin.
I do think we need to have a cautious optimism, but we should give into that optimism and be happy because that's what the sport's all about. Because eventually 100 years of Cubs fans, misery and pain that I enjoyed with every fiber in my body went away because they got to see 2016. To the point now I see Cubs fans go, man, that's a shame. It'll always do, 2016 will always be in my heart. And at the end of it, man, it's worth it. It will be worth it. It's the same way watching the Sox. I knew embarrassment for most of my life. Then I said, then I had 2006 or 2005, wherever it was, that I'd never forget. And so at the end of the day, you should be hopeful, but be logically hopeful. And I think right now enough has happened where you can be logically hopeful in the Bears. It makes sense. It makes sense to be it. They've assembled a good defense. They've assembled stellar skill players and skill positions on the offensive side of the ball. They put people in there who have experience, who know what they're doing. Ryan Poles continues to build the team. Have hope. Be excited. I'm excited. But also, I'm still going to be, you know, cautious. Because when something goes wrong, I'm not going to be, nope, same old Bears. I'm going to say, let's see what's happening. Let's see where this goes. So let's see if this really has a hold on them or they move on for something next.
I'm going to tell Bears fans, I've been saying all year, open yourself to love, brother. You might get your heart broken. You might get your heart broken, but you also might meet your. But you also might. Like, hold on, look. You might get your heart broken, but you also might meet your wife or your husband, and you have a flock of kids, and you're like, "Hey, man, that was a great decision." Learn to love, Bears fans. That's all I'm gonna say. Learn to love.
Yeah, you might be heartbroken, but you might win it all.
But you might win it all.
You know what I'm saying? Our father can talk about years of heartbreak, but he'll say, "But then I met your mother." Yeah. And you know what? That's look at me. Look at me, Chicago. Look at me when I'm talking to you. Yes, it might be rough and you might experience heartbreak, but it takes one Super Bowl for us to go, well, back in 2024, how we did it. Oh, yeah, man, exactly. Remember 24 Bears. It's all it takes. It takes one win for us to be like our parents and our grandparents who talk about 85. for us to look at our kids and say, y'all don't remember when Caleb Williams was that guy. Do you remember what he did?
Y'all know about Roman Dunze.
What you know about Super Bowl winning Bears? Super Bears, Super Bowl.
Heartbreak, better than no bitches.
Oh, brother, it's gospel. That's gospel. That's gospel. That's so true.
That's
so
very true. That's very true, man.
I wish I could make that the title of the episode, but I can't.
No, I can't make that the title, but that's if this was some assessments, I could, but I can't make that the title. But that's very, very true. One last bit of news before we wrap this up. On the broadcast, on the interview with my man White Hove, aka Troy Aikman, and Joe Buck, Kevin Warren said the Bears plan to have shovels in the ground next year and that for the new stadium to open up in 2028. So
and where shovels on the ground where?
Next year. It's going where? To be. It's going to be fucking Arlington. Like, let's be real. I heard some very top secret news that they tell me it's going to be Arlington. But it's going to be Arlington. Unless something dramatic changes. Mayor Fro folks, he can get up here and do all these interviews all he want. The state of Illinois is not budging off that. So that's what Kevin Warren says. They expect to have shovels on the ground next year and the stadium to be open in 2028. We'll see if that actually happens, man. But it is pouring rain out here.
I'm 70% sure it's going to be Chicago.
Chicago? I'm willing to bet great money as Arlington.
I forgot what was the holdup. Was it with the council?
Because they want
the city in Illinois.
They want the city to pay for it, and the city's like, nigga, we're not paying for it.
Mm. Eventually,
we're not using tax dollars. I don't think so. I think this is going
to
be.
What's wrong with a little bit of tax dollars? What's wrong with just a quick little tax to get the stadium?
I'll be right. It looks nice, but they don't even know what they're gonna do. I personally prefer to be in Arlington, but I do think
how much if it's gonna, you all make from city stickers and license plate stickers? Just defer a little bit of that towards the stadium. I have no knowledge of this, so don't pay attention to me.
We'll see, man. But that's all we got for y'all on this edition of 79th and Hollis. We'll be back next Saturday, August 10th. For episode 246, we're going to break down yet another week of camp and the Bears' second preseason game, which will be the first game that we're expecting Caleb Williams and starters to play against Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills next Saturday. So y'all can follow me on all social media platforms at Barbershare Scott. You can follow Flows at Flows Andolini on all social media platforms. You can follow the pod at 79th and Hallis on Twitter. Follow the Barbershare Network on all social media platforms at Barbershare Net and subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/Barbershare Network. Y'all enjoy y'all weekend. Tune in for I'm Not Gonna Hold You tomorrow, 5 p.m. Central Time on Barbershare Network and H&B Media. We're going to talk about this another day. Shout out to Jay Hood. Said, y'all rain delay theater. So, yeah, man. So, y'all have a good weekend and we'll holler at y'all next week. We out.